Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and you have tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the resources I talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. This, of course, is approaching year end. We're not far from 2017. And this is the time in which we ask people to be especially generous, to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web. Again, equip.org. This special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm going to be dealing with some questions that come in over and over again, questions that are salient and significant and will be once again in the coming year. One email question comes from Paul, and that question I think is really, really interesting. Paul writes, Hank, how do you and your wife, Kathy, justify having 12 children? And that amidst a worldwide population explosion. A population explosion adding about 1 billion people every 12 years. And also in light of the biblical prophecy of a coming worldwide famine. If believers care about the plight of this world as God does, shouldn't we practice zero population growth, preconception, birth control, adoption? Does God want couples to bring babies into the world only to watch them starve to death? Well, the answer to the last question is easy. The answer is no. I also would say this, that we have adopted 3 children, and that this idea of a biblical prophecy of a coming worldwide famine is pure mythology. It's mythology that is based on a misreading of the biblical text. So one of the things all of us ought to do as Christians is learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. In terms of justifying the number of children that we have in the midst of a worldwide population explosion, I would say that the number of people is not the real problem. The real problem is the concentration of large numbers of people in cities. For example, somewhere around, and I'm pulling this statistic out of my mind, it's probably pretty accurate, but somewhere around 98% of the 90-plus millions who live in Egypt live in a few crowded cities on the bank of the Nile River. And that only comprises about 3 to 4% of Egypt's landmass. Not only that, but there are over 25 cities in the world with a population of 9 to 10 million or more, including cities like Mexico City, which has some 20 million, some say 26 million. The numbers vary depending on how you measure the city. So the number of people is not the real problem. The planet's resources are diverse and abundant, but it takes creativity and hard work to tap them. Now, there's much more I want to say about that in light of another question that I'm asked frequently, and that is the question about global warming. And I'm answering these questions on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast because answering these kinds of questions takes discernment skills. You know, people think that when everyone says something, it has to be right. The weight of the world was pushed in the direction of Y2K in the year 2000. The pundits, the politicians, the pastors. Well, the pastors were selling freeze-dried food. But this was something that they were all wrong about. Or you think about the Clinton victory. It was assured. It was, as it were, settled science. Well, it didn't turn out like that. The pollsters were wrong. So just because everyone is moving in a particular direction does not mean that it is so. But what about global warming? How should Christians think about global warming? This, by the way, also addresses the issue of population control and how many children I have. I'll touch on that in just a moment. But, you know, global warming is obviously a very hot topic. I opened USA Today some time ago, and I encountered a full-page ad that said, rising temperatures, disastrous droughts, melting glaciers, polar ice sheets, polar bears, well, they're headed to extinction. The climate crisis isn't on the way, it's here. Well, CNN founder Ted Turner is similarly pessimistic. He said a number of years ago, we're going to be 8 degrees hotter 30 to 40 years from now, and basically none of the crops are going to grow. Most of the people will have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals. Or think about former Vice President Al Gore, who just had a meeting with the president-elect Donald Trump. He's pretty emphatic. He says that global warming is the single greatest threat that faces our planet. The single greatest threat. Ellen Goodman of the Boston Globe puts global warming deniers on par with Holocaust deniers. And then there's the prominent Baptist pastor Oliver Buzz Thomas, who has gone so far as to castigate spiritual leaders for failing to urge followers to have smaller families in light of this global catastrophe. In his words, we must stop having so many children. Clergy should consider voicing the difficult truth that having more than two children during such a time is selfish. Dare we say, not just selfish, but sinful. So as the global warming rhetoric continues to boil over, the question is, how should Christians respond? By the way, let me say one more time. When these people talk about the fact that we should only have two children and it is a sin to have more, consider the fact that Europe, the EU countries, are swiftly, well, they're moving towards self-extinction. It's a death wish born out of birth control, abortion, euthanasia, same-sex sexuality. Well, I can go on. Transgenderism. You know the story. In other words, the native-born culture is dying out in a rapidly multiplying Muslim culture is filling the vacuum. A civilization that is becoming Islamic demographically will, of course, inevitably succumb to Islam politically as well. Never forget that today Islam has surpassed Christianity as the fastest growing religion in the world. Not only so, but not one post-Christian culture has a birth rate sufficient to keep it alive. And in the irony of ironies, you have clergy telling Christians it is a sin to have more than two children. Well, getting back to the global warming question, the real issue here is, again, discernment skills. You have to learn how to ask the right questions and how to ask those questions in the right sequence. Our initial question, I think, is this. Is global warming a reality? To answer that question, I think we might have to say, well, yes. So this is not about global warming deniers. We can say yes. If you approximate current averages over 150 years and carefully consider current satellite data, it appears likely that we are right now experiencing a slight warming trend. But here's the deal. You have to exercise extreme caution in the extrapolation of trends. Now, why do I say that? Some of us have short memories or haven't been along on the planet forever like I have, but I remember the first Earth Day. It was 1970. At the time, I was 20. It was observed amid the specter of a looming ice age. And 4 years after that, there was an article in Time magazine which pontificated that the telltale signs were evident everywhere. That's not all that long ago in modern history. So again, the first question is global warming a reality? And then you have to think about it critically. The second question is, if the globe is warming, are humans a significant factor? Well, there are some that say they are, but there are also many that say that they are not. In other words, the bottom line is, this is clearly not settled science. A third question that we should ask is global warming necessarily bad? Now, that sounds like an odd question, but Dr. Richards, who's been on this show, J. Richards, who has a PhD in the philosophy and theology, has pointed out that 1,000 years ago, during a medieval warming period, European agriculture experienced an increase in productivity, and more deaths result from cold winters than hot summers. So while common sense might lead us to conclude that a warming trend is far less dangerous than a new ice age, the reality is there isn't sufficient study to be absolutely sure. So again, we ought to ask, is global warming a reality? Then ask, if the globe is warming, are humans a significant factor? And is global warming necessarily bad? One thing is certain. Sensationalism, sophistry, and sloppy journalism have done little to advance the ball. I mentioned the fact that Al Gore's dire warnings of global catastrophe are a reality. He thinks this is the most significant problem, but he thought the millennium bug was the most significant problem as well. And he wasn't alone. Media and magazines and ministers, they collectively rode the millennium bug pretty hard. In fact, when my primary research project published as The Millennium Bug Debugged, revealed that Y2K would not even be a top 10 news story in the year 2000, I became the object of controversy and contempt. Moreover, as Christians, we should carefully consider the cost of having our eyes on the wrong ball. If we participate in promoting global warming political policies involving trillions of dollars, there should be convincing evidence that global warming is, as Al Gore contends, the most pressing problem facing the planet. The Kyoto Protocol, for example, would cost the global economy tens of trillions of dollars, and by contrast, providing clean water for areas of the world that currently have contaminated water could be accomplished for around $200 billion. So it's a tragedy if we have our eye on the wrong ball. Obviously, what is incontrovertible is that Christians are called to be caretakers or stewards of God's creation. And as such, not only are we called to carry out the Great Commission, but we are commissioned to carry out the cultural mandate. In an age in which Christians are all too often characterized as poor, undereducated, and easily led, we should avoid lending credence to the stereotype. Instead, we should commit ourselves to care for God's creation with tender hearts as well as with tenacious minds. When I come back from the break, we're going to broach another question, and that is, what are the ABCs of redefining marriage? Marriage has been redefined a fairly short time ago. It's only about a year and a half. And we should know what this portends for the future. Again, we'll deal with that on the other side of the break and much, much more. Do remember, I'm asking people year-end to stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more.
Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence, and beyond question, the existence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. www.bibleanswerman.org. Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong and prepared for even greater ministry in 2017. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and a special appeal as we approach year-end, 2017, right around the corner. We want to appeal to you to join CRI's monthly support team to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth in the coming year. It would make a tremendous difference in our work around the globe. The foundation of this ministry from a financial support comes from people who join the monthly CRI support team. You can do that on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Please be generous as you give this year end and as you join CRI's monthly support team. For those that join the support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. The answers that I give on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so often found in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, or the Creation Answer Book, you can find either one of those resources on the web. Again, equip.org. But I want to talk in this segment about how Christians should respond to the LGBTQ community. And I'm actually going to tell you that we should respond with the acronym GAY, which is to say, God has spoken, the G. We have to have an attitude adjustment, the A, and the Y, yield not. I'll talk about all of that as I proceed in the next few moments. But I read not long ago a Kansas City Star account of this happy, kind, sweet, considerate 6-year-old, he was named AJ, had been determined to be a transgender. This rough and tumble kid who had once sported buzz cuts and dressed for his birthday as a pirate was now growing her chestnut hair below her shoulders, and AJ was now a girl. The narrative was pretty clear. Those who would so much as bat an eye at the determination of a 6-year-old boy to become a girl, well, they are like the bigots who once fueled the fires of racism in America. The arc of history, opined the Star, is moving quickly toward both greater tolerance and acceptance, an acceptance enhanced by none other than Bruce Jenner, now Kate Jenner, when he made the public change and is now sporting transgenderism. And again, the question that inevitably arises in this kind of a circumstance is, how then must we live? And I'm going to give you that in the acronym format, but let me say that this is being pressed upon us with a great ferocity. I mentioned a week or so ago on this show that there is a picture in the December issue of Time magazine, and the picture has a caption. The caption says, "My brother Evan never stopped wanting to have a baby, and this spring he gave birth to his first child." And then you have a picture of Evan breastfeeding his baby. And in big, bold letters, the words under the picture, "The most beautiful process in the world has now been shared with a man." The story involves Evan coming out as transgender. This is the most dangerous, self-delusional indulgence, but it's perfectly a position for a post-truth culture. And again, all of that heightens the need for us to know how we should respond. Again, the acronym GAY, the G of which reminds us that God has spoken. I want to give this to you in a way that you can remember. God has spoken, the G. The Bible's crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. In fact, the New Testament derives its prescriptions against same-sex sexuality from the creation order of Genesis, as well as, by the way, the prohibitions of Leviticus. But that's not all, because the Bible contends that wholly apart from access to special revelation, general revelation provides sufficient evidence to underscore God's condemnation of same-sex sexuality. And therefore, we would do well to recognize that the Bible does not condemn same-sex sexuality in some kind of arbitrary or capricious fashion. No, it carefully defines the borders of human sexuality for a reason. That reason is that our joy might be complete. So again, the first point is, gee, God has spoken. But there's another very important point. It's the A. We ought to adjust our attitude. In spite of the circumstances, maybe I should say in the midst of the circumstances, we should never have a we they siege mentality, but rather commit ourselves to becoming salt and light, and then do it with gentleness and with respect. The, you know, God hates fags mentality is more conducive to repelling than reaching this culture steeped in sin and confusion. We can preach the right things, but do it in the wrong way. We can be too aggressive, we can be too meek. We have to strike the right balance. And when either conviction or compassion is being compromised, revision is in order. I've said it many times, but tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is, of course, a virtue. But tolerance when it comes to truth is a travesty. And that leads me to the Y in the acronym that will help you remember God has spoken, attitude adjustment, and Y, yield not. We must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. Rather, with Luther, we ought to say, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. Because to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. The temptation to yield to cultural norms in 2017, I will tell you, it is going to continue to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity. And yet, to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. All of this is no trifling matter. As J. Richards has well said, it's a matter of natural law. And to deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow to the foundation of a free society. There's an attendant question here that I think I want to broach as well. And that is this idea of whether or not we as Christians ought to be tolerant. Christians must be equipped to expose the flaws of today's tolerance. That's the real point. And then we need to exemplify what I would call true tolerance. Because to say that all views are equally valid sounds tolerant, but in reality, it is a contradiction in terms. If all views are equally valid, then the Christian view has to be valid. The Christian view, however, holds that not all views are equally valid. And therefore, the redefinition of tolerance in our culture is a self-refuting proposition. We don't tolerate people with whom we agree. We tolerate people with whom we disagree. And if all views were equally valid, there'd be no need for tolerance whatsoever. Today's redefinition of tolerance leaves no room, and that's the real problem, it leaves no room for objective moral judgments. A modern terrorist can be deemed as virtuous as a Mother Teresa. Because with no enduring reference points, societal norms are being quickly reduced to mere matters of preference. As such, the moral basis for resolving international disputes and condemning practices like genocide, oppression of women, or child prostitution, we know these are intuitively evil, but they're being seriously compromised. And in light of its philosophically fatal features, I think we as Christians have to reject today's tolerance and revive true tolerance. True tolerance demands that despite our differences, we treat every person with dignity and respect because they are created in the image of God. And true tolerance does not preclude proclaiming the truth, but it does mandate that we do it with gentleness and with respect. That's what 1 Peter 3:15 urges us to do. Give an answer, but do it with gentleness and with respect. In a world that is increasingly intolerant of Christianity, Christians must exemplify tolerance without sacrificing truth. In fact, tolerance, as I said just a few moments again, and I love this, tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is a virtue. But tolerance when it comes to truth is a travesty. If you read Jude, there's a text that says, "Have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Should we have tolerance? Should we be tolerant? Of course. But remember, words and phrases are not univocal, they are equivocal, so let's make sure that the meaning we pour into those words or phrases is the right meaning. Well, you've tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As I answer some of the most pressing issues of our time, we're facing a brand new year coming up, looming on the horizon. And in that new year, I also want to talk about one of the great issues, and that is redefining marriage. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break in just a few moments. Do remember, we're also asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. If you can join CRI's monthly support team, be deeply appreciated. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. When I come back from the break, the quote of the day, it has to do with the very issue of truth. You don't want to miss it. And then we're going to talk about the ABCs of redefining marriage.
"Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" In these, his first recorded words, the Lord Jesus discloses to us the essence of his nature and his purpose. Stu Epperson Jr. helps us to understand and celebrate the matchless gift of the Incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, in the new book, First Words of Jesus, From Cradle to Cross. To receive your copy of First Words of Jesus as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Russell Kirk has captured our modern plight, stating, "A good many people fret themselves over the rather improbable speculation that the Earth may be blown asunder by nuclear weapons. The grimmer and more immediate prospect is that men and women may be reduced to a subhuman state through limitless indulgence in their own vices, with ruinous consequences to society. But despite the darkness, the good news is that believers can help others and themselves become winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of CRI's life-changing work, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Stu Epperson's First Words of Jesus, which poignantly connects the story of Christmas with the victory of the cross and resurrection. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we begin with the quote of the day. It comes from Oz Guinness. He is a prophetic voice in our generation. And one of the most quotable people I've ever heard. This is one of my favorite Oz Guinness quotes. Here it goes. "The Christian faith is not true because it works. It works because it is true. It is not true because we experience it. We experience it deeply and gloriously because it is true. It is not simply true for us, it is true for any who seek in order to find, because truth is true, even if no one believes it, and a falsehood is false, even if everyone believes it. That is why truth does not yield to opinion, fashion, numbers, office, or even sincerity. It is simply true, and that is the end of it. Again, the quote by Oz Guinness, and I think it is particularly appropriate because we live in an age in which internet fabrications travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. Without truth, the covering that protects you from the devil's schemes simply crumbles to the ground, leaving you naked and vulnerable. Dealing with some of the great questions that are being asked on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, through the mail, in the conferences that I do around the world, the quintessential question perhaps, what about this redefinition of marriage? Now, that's a big word to use, quintessential. Why is this so significant? Well, there are essentially three building blocks of civil society. You have marriage, the church, government. They all rest upon the foundation of human life. But of the three, I don't think there's anything more significant than marriage. And therefore, it is instructive to spell out what I would call the ABCs of marriage redefinition. When you redefine marriage, you're doing something very, very significant. I want to highlight that. So this is not just one of those issues, lots of issues. This is just another. No, this is a quintessential issue. So let me talk about the ABCs. The A has to do with the anthropological reality. And what I mean by that is that according to a consensus of sociological metrics, women and men enjoy strategic complementarity. And as such, both are essential in the rearing of children. Father, well, he can challenge progeny in developmentally vital ways that a mother cannot. On the other hand, mothers provide care and nurture in ways that fathers cannot. And social science statistics are unanimous. They support the strategic significance of gender-differentiated parenting. Neither mothers nor fathers are replaceable in that process. To assuage the dangers inherent in same-sex parenting due to exceptions, I think, is short-sighted, and many people are doing that. The fact that some smokers outlive non-smokers obviously does not negate the danger of cigarettes. And in the same fashion, the fact that some same-sex marriages are better than some heterosexual marriages does not mean that the public should not be warned of the dangers inherent in same-sex relationships. So that's the anthropological reality, but there's also a biological reality, and that is that sexual reproduction requires male and female. It doesn't take a budding theologue to recognize that every organ in the human body is self-sufficient to perform its intended function except for one. Natural reproduction always, always, always requires a coupling of male and female. That's self-evident truth. Marriage protects and reinforces that complementarity, that reproductive part of our natures. And therefore, marriage as a comprehensive union of body, mind, emotion, soul is a proper end of which children are produced. And the fact that not all marriages produce children is hardly an effective counterargument, because not all soccer games produce a victory either. The biological reality shouldn't stump anybody. So you got an anthropological reality, you have a biological reality, and then a civil reality. For the health of civil society, both mother and father are necessary. And you think about where Barack Obama was not all that long ago. Obviously, he's shifted. Political correctness has had a real impact upon him. But he once famously said, and I'll quote him, he said, "We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and to commit crime. They are 9 times more likely to drop out of schools and 20 times more likely to end up in prison." Barack Obama continues, "They are more likely to have behavioral problems or run away from home or become teenage parents themselves. And the foundations of our community are weaker because of it." Having said that, the president ought to recognize that it is not too much to say, therefore, that redefining marriage opens Pandora's box and it spells the death knell to civil society. I'm underscoring a point here. This is a quintessential issue. Redefining marriage erodes the rational basis for rejecting aberrations that range from group marriage and polygamy all the way to incest. Because enshrining a false definition of marriage in our law is very much like flooding the economy with counterfeit money. Everything is ultimately devalued. And thus, in the end, the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage has not only undermined the foundation of human civilization, but it has opened Pandora's grisly box. Given the court's reasoning now, it's very hard to imagine how polyamory or polygamy or polyandry or even pedophilia will not likewise be blessed by the court. Now, that has as a page yet to be written. We don't know what's going to happen. But so often we think that just because there is a conservative revolution going on, or maybe the perception of a conservative revolution, that all will be fine. That's just not the way it works. Our culture is always shaped by factors. Factors like the educational institutions. The impact that they are having on young kids today is absolutely terrifying. And then you have the entertainment industry. It's shaping the culture, not just in the West, but it is having an impact all around the world. In fact, in some ways so negatively that we're now being lectured by Putin in Russia about some of our excesses. So when you talk about what's going to happen in the future, remember education, remember entertainment, remember even things like the environmental industry, the media. These are shaping opinions, and in the midst of that, Christians need to make sure that their voices are properly heard. If there's no special virtue in opposite-sex marriage, you have to ask the question, is there any magic in the number two? In other words, keep going down this slippery slope and find out where you end up. Or why arbitrarily assign 18 as the magical age of consent? That'll be up for grabs as well. Once we abandon the biblical definition of marriage, there is simply no limit on where our on sanctified passions may lead us. If we get rid of a moral lawgiver, an objective source of truth, everything becomes subjective. And then everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. And when that happens, civilization devolves. Well, all of that is, in a sense, exposing the darkness, but we can do more. We can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm, and that's precisely why I ask people to stand with this ministry. We are attempting to be a beacon around the world, but we can't do it alone. It takes many people standing together prayerfully and financially to really make a substantive difference. So I'm asking you to join this team. Join CRI's monthly support team. When you do, be pleased to personalize one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. But stand together prayerfully and financially. God has called us to be a community of saints that ultimately is light to the world. Stand with us prayerfully and financially as we close out this year. Whatever you give will be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory, for the extension of His kingdom. Also, pray for this ministry. Prayer ultimately is firing the winning shot. And if you go to the web, you can find resources available for those who are giving a year-end gift. Check it out on the web again, equip.org, or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Please contact us. Make a difference while there's yet time. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. Remember, you're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. We're out of here for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when we dial, when you dial, I should say, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition, this deep dive edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. See you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence, and beyond question, the existence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit,
Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.